I'm going to begin the lesson this morning by reading out of Galatians, the 6th chapter. I'm going to begin with verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now that seems very simple, to bear another's burdens, and then that would fulfill the law of Christ. But you know, that's just the start. And I'm going to read some of the things that add to that. It might be for our good. But don't forget that one thing. Don't put ourselves first. There is a scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when we seek God and His righteousness, we're going to have to go, shall I say, to great extent, helping one another. Because if we read over in Matthew, in the 25th chapter, he tells us that as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So when we help our fellow man, do good to him, we're helping Christ and doing good to him. Do I make myself clear? If I don't, I don't know how to handle this English language any better. Now I'm going to read further down. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Have you ever looked around you and see some guy that, as we would say, acts like he's all puffed up, thinking a lot of himself when sometimes he isn't? What kind of an idea does it give of that person? Not good. So we want to be careful and not do something deceiving ourselves. Sometimes we think we're doing the will of Christ and deceiving ourselves when it's not the law of Christ. Did you ever look at it that way? So we need to be careful what we do or what we say, that Christ might be the one that we're honoring and seeking after. Because if we don't seek after Christ, He's not going to seek after us. He's not going to make us do anything contrary to our own will. If you remember, there's a scripture over there, I don't know just where it is now, but where he told them of partaking of his flesh and blood. And a lot of them said this was a hard thing. They couldn't do that. And many of them left him then. Didn't follow him at all from there on. And he asked the 12 if they would leave him also. And he said, or Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. If he has the words of eternal life, don't you think we better put ourselves out just a little bit to kind of, shall I say, worship him, keep his commandments? But let every man prove his own work, and then shall ye have rejoicing. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. Have you stopped to consider, look around, and see somebody that you think is just doing the best that they possibly can, that you might have think it's just dope and you can rejoice? Are you doing anything of your own accord and check your own work, see what kind of work you're doing, so that you know that you can put your work up on an equal with the other man or ahead of him in serving God? Can we serve God too much? If you think you can serve God too much, you better take another look at your own work. Maybe I might be a little hard on some people. Maybe it is a little hard on me. But I tell you, there's a lot in this one reading here. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read further down yet. For every man shall bear his own burden. If we bear our own burden, and the other fellow's helping us, and we're helping him, if we can all work together, it's be like the story they tell that the young couple had gotten married, and it's just a small building. So her dad gets out his lariat and throws it over the roof, so that it's come down on both sides. And he's sitting, now, whenever you get over here, you can get a hold of this, and the other can get over here and hold of that. He says, when I tell you, he says, pull on that. So he told them to pull. Well, they didn't get no place. They're both pulling against each other. And he allowed them a little while, and he says, now, stop. And he told one of them to come around here with the other one. He says, now, when I tell you to pull, he says, you pull. So they're both on one end of the rope and pulling together. It didn't take no effort at all to pull that rope down off the house. Showing the difference of pulling together or pulling on opposite ends of the rope. Do you ever stop to think of it that way? How much easier it is if you pull together than if you pull one against another. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, that is another thing. If we are taught, say, in the scriptures, who's going to teach us? Who are you going to depend on most? On some man to teach you? Or are you going to depend on the Holy Ghost and Christ to teach you? It makes a difference. I know. I've been there. And sometimes a man won't teach you just exactly as it is in Christ's scriptures. But the Holy Ghost will teach you all things just as they are in the scriptures. And if we get taught by the Holy Ghost the things that are in the scriptures, and we've got them written right there before us, and he'll help us to understand them, how much easier is it going to be for us to tread the path of life and keep the commandments of Christ? You know, I've got about a dozen or more references, and I ain't going to get near done with them today. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It goes on to describe some things here further down, but I want to talk about that a little bit first. What are we sowing? We sing a song about sowing a good seed as we go. Do we always do that? Do sometimes we have got a little mixed up, and we got a little seed in there that's a little different. You know, I've been clearing a little wheat there lately, and you'd be surprised. And you can put that wheat up and the fan on it and blow through that, the dirt and chaff and stuff that'll come out of that nice looking wheat. Even weed seeds. Now if we want to sow wheat, expecting to reap wheat, we want to sow good, clean wheat. The same with the Word of Christ. If we expect to reap the good things from Christ's doctrine, and we've got it in these two books, if we want to reap the good things out of that, we've got to keep it clean and pure. We can't put anything else in with it. You read the parable of the tares and the sower. The man sowed good seed, but Satan come along and sowed the tares in it. It's just the same if we sow wheat with weed seed in it. We won't get good clean wheat. Same if we plant corn. If we want to plant corn, we want to reap corn. The same, so if we plant, and it says here farther on down, according to the Spirit, we'll reap the things of the Spirit. And that's what we want. I'm going to read more of it yet. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See what I'm trying to tell you? You can't sow things that sometimes we think, oh, we can't get along without this and this country of the world. And we can't get along with that. We got to have that too. It's not of the Spirit. What are we going to reap? The things of which we sow. And sometimes, folks, I don't know. I can't say just exactly the thought that is on my mind. But it shows us that we've got to sow what we want to reap, not something else. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. They don't say to not do good to all men, but to every man as we possibly can do good, and especially to them of the faith. That's what I have just read to you. I can't explain it any better. So remember this one thing, especially that we're going to reap what we sow. When we leave this life, there's a place for the righteous and there's a place for the unrighteous. And we want to live in such a way that we can reap the reward of the righteous. I'm going to turn to Alma now. The third chapter. Alma, the third chapter. I'm going to begin with verse 46. And now he's talking here to some of the people that have joined the church and are trying to follow Christ. He says, "And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, and if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now?" You know, sometimes you have seen, and I have seen, where the seed was sown on shallow ground and came up and seemed to bear fruit for a while. And after a while, it drifted away. Now that's what this is talking about. If you have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now? Or have you drifted away? Have you walked keeping yourselves blameless before God? Could you say, if you were called to die at this time within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble? That's another thing we want to look at. Have we been sufficiently humble? Or have we had our minds set too much on what we want to do? Not always what Christ would have us to do. That your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, who will come to redeem his people from their sins. Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not, ye are not prepared to meet God. This kind of hard sometimes. Do I think I'm just a little better than the other fellow? Just got pride kind of holding me up a little bit higher? If you have got that, if you've got that pride, you're not prepared to meet God. That's what it says right here. Behold, ye must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such an one hath not eternal life. It's your very small thing that if you have that, it can keep you from having eternal life. Behold, I say, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? Maybe the other fellow's got a little bit more than you got. Do you envy him? It's an easy thing to do. I say unto you that such an one is not prepared, and it would that he should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand, and he knoweth not when the time shall come, for such an one is not found guiltless. You know, we don't know how soon, as far as we're concerned, this old world will come to an end. For our own individual self, not that the world's going to come to an end right away, but our part of it. When we leave this life, our part of this world is done. That's it. When we come to the end of this life, we go to the judgment, and then there's one of two places we'll go, and you could read that further over in Alma. And again I say unto you, is there one among you that doth make a mock of his brother, or that heapeth upon him persecutions? Woe unto such an one, for he is not prepared, and the time is at hand that he must repent, or he cannot be saved. Yea, even woe unto all ye workers of iniquity, repent, repent, for the Lord God has spoken it. Some of that's a little hard. I know. I'm human. You're human. And if you can't see what I see in that, there is something wrong. Because I see things in there that's very hard for me to keep. And sometimes, well, like everybody, we step over the line just a little ways, and that's what we've got to repent of and come back and ask the Lord's forgiveness and really get away from it. If we don't want to repent and really get away from it, we're wasting our time. I want to read about 3 or 4 more verses further over. I'm going to start with 62. Behold, I say unto you, that the good shepherd doth call you, yea, and in his own name he doth call you, which is the name of Christ. Now, I could turn back over into the 12th chapter of 3 Nephi, and it'll tell you that the church is Christ's church if it be called in his name. If it so be that they are built upon his gospel. You know, I don't know how many churches of Christ there is, shall I say, in this community. But how many are built on Christ's gospel? Just true gospel of Christ and nothing added to or taken from. Folks, let's don't go too deep in that. We could get in deep water. Because we're not entirely free of that one trouble. And if you will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which ye are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. And now, if you're not the sheep of the good shepherd, of what fold are you? It's something that we should stop and look at. If we're not the sheep of the good shepherd, of what fold are we? If we go over in the 25th chapter of Matthew, where Christ sat on his, shall I say, judgment throne, and all nations had gathered together before him, and he separated them one from another like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, the sheep on the one hand and the goats on the other, and then he tells each one of them where to go. Folks, we want to live and keep the commandments of Christ so that we can be among the sheep. It ain't any small job to do that. I'm going back to the 13th chapter of 2 Nephi. And I'm going to begin with verse 18. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of the fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with the new tongues, yea, even with the tongues of angels, and after this should deny me, I would have you it would have been better for you had ye not known me. That's one thing that I can't just quite understand. He said, it'd been better if we hadn't known him, if we don't keep the commandments. The more we know, I'll have to put it this way, the more we know of the gospel of Christ, the more rigid we have to keep his commandments. And if we don't keep his commandments, it's all going to be the same. You're going to be the natural man. And the natural man is an enemy of God. So we've got to get away from being the natural man and be spiritually minded, I'll put it, and do those things that the Heavenly Father would have you to do. And I heard the voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Showing here that though we may come in to, I'll say, I can't say it now, but into the fold of God, what we would call his earthly fold here. If we come into that and then drift away, we're worse off really than if we'd never known anything of it. Because it tells us in one place that he that turneth from the light into darkness, how great that darkness is. And I don't know whether you have known some, but I have known and talked with some that was seemed to be in the light and had great enthusiasm to do a work for God, and you might say serve his cause here on earth, and then get discouraged and drift away. And how much darker is their darkness than those that never knew it? You can go down here and talk to, I'd say, half a dozen men, and there'll be at least half of them that don't belong, you might say, to any church, tell you that they believe in God, but they just don't know enough of his commandments to keep all of his commandments. But, might say, good people and believe in God, but what's it going to get them in the long run? I'm glad I'm not the judge, because I could name people that I like that are in that category. I've got to leave their destination up to Christ. He is that final judge. And I'm not going to interfere. I can't. I can't command God at all, and neither can you. But you can ask a favor of him by a community of prayer. You can ask his favor, but you've got to ask for what is right and in faith believing, or you're not going to get it. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. You know, you can turn, I'm not done with this now, but if you want to, you can turn to the 8th chapter of 3rd Nephi and read verse 49. And he'll tell you there that he has set the example. And when he has set the example, that's the example that we must follow. And just before that, he's told them some things about his scripture. And he has set the example. Just turn to it and read it. I'm not going to read it this morning. I've got too much to read anyway. Wherefore do the things which I have told you, I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shewn unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. Now there's one thing I want to talk about a little bit there. He told them that they had seen the gate. I better read one more verse first. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. There's another scripture that tells us that Christ, I believe it calls him the Holy One of Israel. Maybe I'd better turn to that and be sure so that I ain't telling you something wrong. You'll find what I started to try to talk about and do turn to it. In the 6th chapter of 2 Nephi, and I'm going to read verse 81. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. What I wanted to try to tell you, that Christ is the keeper of that gate. And that gate, as we have just read over here, is when you enter in to through the gate by the repentance and baptism by water. And he is that gate that you have to go by there. He's the keeper of that gate. Do you know of any other name, any place, that you can be saved by except by the name of Christ? And you've got to enter that gate that he's the keeper of, and in baptism, it's got to be unto Christ, or you can't get by. Are any baptized after Paul or Apollos, or baptized in the name of Joseph Smith? What would it amount to if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus and baptized unto him? You're just not baptized, you're just merely dirt. It's something that you got to stop and think about. I used to, shall I say, try to figure out, and I couldn't get it through my head, how he could be the keeper of the gate and nobody else could have anything to say. But I didn't consider the gate, the baptism by water and of the Holy Ghost. That's the gate he's talking about here. What I figured was the judgment. And it tells us in one place that the 12 on this continent was going to judge the people on this continent. I mean, what we would call the Lamanite and the Nephite. They were to judge them. But they in return are going to be judged by 12 on the other side. And when he was the keeper of the gate alone, I couldn't get that through my head. How did these other fellows come into it? It's something you need to stop and take thought of, and I don't know yet just exactly how it's going to be. Because when it comes to the final judgment, according to Matthew, it's going to be Christ himself sitting on that judgment seat and dividing them as the sheep and the goats. Just him alone. It's something that we don't understand, and we've got to leave it up to Christ. There's things maybe we ain't supposed to understand. And ye have received the Holy Ghost. This is after they've gone through the gate. Ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witness of the Father and the Son, and of the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask, if all is done. See, he's asking them, if you're getting in through the gate, is all done? Behold, I say unto you, nay. For ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. So we got to rely entirely upon Christ, and so it says, upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. See here what you've got to feast upon. Feast upon the words of Christ. I didn't know we was going to have this array here in front of us, but look at this. This is physical food. And feasting upon the words of Christ is spiritual food. Makes that much difference. And if you don't feast upon the spiritual food, well, maybe you'd have good health if you eat this, but it wouldn't gain you anything on the other side if you neglected the spiritual food. It's worth stopping to thinking about. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. See, it tells us there's no other way and by no other name can he be saved in the kingdom of God. And you've got to come through that gate, and him as the keeper of the gate, and you've got to come through there by his name, because that name is the one that's going to save you if you feast upon his word. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. Did you see anything in that last verse? This is the doctrine of Christ, the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Then some will tell us there's only one in that Godhead. And I don't know how many times in this book you can read all three. It behooves us to kind of watch and see and learn and feast upon the words of Christ. If we don't do that, woe be unto us. I'm going back to the first chapter of Mosiah. Again, for a little more. Mosiah, the first chapter, I'm going to begin with verse 86. All ye old men, and also ye young men, and ye little children, who can understand my words? For I have spoken plain of you, that ye might understand. I pray that ye should awake to a remembrance of the awful situation of those that have fallen into transgression. And moreover, I would desire that ye should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all their things, both temporal and spiritual. And they hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. But remember, that these things are true, for the Lord God has spoken it. Showing us that we want to understand and keep the words that Mosiah had given to his people there. And to do that, we got to read quite a lot to understand the words of Mosiah, which he was the last king that the Nephites had. And he gave them some very good, understandable things to live by. He's the one that told them to do their work, their business, by the voice of the people. And that is remembered again over in Alma, that speaking of the wisdom of their last king, the things that he gave them, that he said to them. I'm going to read a little bit more farther over in the first chapter of Mosiah. I'm going to begin with verse 115. For behold, as in Adam, or by nature, they fall, even so the blood of Christ atoneth for their sins. Now the only way that he can atone us for our sins is for us to come unto him by repentance and baptism, and by keeping his commandments. And moreover, I say unto you, that there shall be no other name given, nor any other way, nor means, whereby salvation can come into the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. Is that pretty plain? There's only one way, and you can't climb up by a different ladder and get through. For behold, he judgeth, and his judgment is just. And the infant perisheth not that dieth in its infancy. And he goes on and tells a lot of different things here, how, what you've got to do. And I'm going to go on down to verse 120 and read from there on down some. But if he yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ and the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child is submit to his father. Showing how we've got to come down, you might say, to be like a little child, humble and meek and so forth. or we can't be saved. Verse 26 says, "Wherefore they shall be judged, every man, according to his works, whether they be good or whether they be evil." Folks, maybe I ought to turn over here on the next page and read us some. I've got a few more minutes. Chapter 2. I'm going to read starting at verse 9. "I say unto you, if ye have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God and his mercy, matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his longsuffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of this mortal body. I say that this is the man who receiveth salvation through the atonement which is prepared from the foundation of the world. For all mankind which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or who are, or who ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which has been spoken of. Neither is there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man does not comprehend all things which the Lord comprehended. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of your heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all of these things, see that ye do them." Verse 48. "And now, finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby ye may commit sin. For there are diverse ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your works and your deeds and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish. Now, O man, remember and perish not."
And see.